This is David's Intimacy with the Godhead, number two, and it is just, you know, I don't even know how to put it into words. It's just the Lord really, 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 you know, I hate to use the word dealing with me, because it's like, it's not like, well, I don't even know how to put it. All I can tell you is that from seeing David's relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit breathing on that, so that I can see from someone who was in that relationship all the way back when David was alive, meaning the Holy Spirit, it just is so eye-opening and heart-opening and moving to see such intimacy with the Godhead. And I sort of started this last class and mentioned the situation of Martha and Mary, and just that whole thing that there towards the end of that scenario, Jesus said, you know, Mary has chosen the one thing that will not be taken away from her. And I cannot tell you how just that simple phrase has transformed my awareness in life. Martha being a noisy, if you will, just a lot of trouble, a lot of things, you know, just going on in this earth, and Mary just being at Jesus' feet, and the ability to be able to choose daily in situations where, I mean, I just walk out of situations sometimes that are just, you know, it's just too much. I don't know, just too much noise, too much problems with people and this and that. But it's not about the problems with the people. It's about I choose to be with Him. And I've been doing that a lot, and it really is making a difference in such a big front. And I choose it. I choose it. Mary chose it. I choose it. Because I want to choose the one thing that nobody can take away from me, and everything else probably can. You know, we think, well, my whole life and all that I've done for God, well, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not one to judge, but I'm one to judge. I can tell the difference between Martha's tone and Mary's lack of talking. And anyway, it came to me as I was meditating on this again, and I do want to get into David, but it all started really with this. And as I was thinking about it, I thought about this story with Martha and Mary and Jesus. And it's such a short amount of scriptures, but it's a study in what is important. It's just, we all know that story, so it's hard to communicate what the Lord's doing in me. But what a simple little study with so much in it to see what's important, you know. And so I think I'll just read a little bit. This is in Luke 10. And again, this is sort of an introduction, but I think it's almost worth bearing forth every time on some level. as a reminder, we choose. We choose. And we choose either to make the noise or to be in the noise and be moved by the noise and all of the problems going on around it. Or we choose not that, but right here at your feet, Jesus. That's where I want to live and I want to be. That's what's in my heart. And I don't want that ever to be taken away from me, whether in this life or that which is to come. So anyway, this is Luke 10, and I'll read it for you if you don't have your Bible handy. But verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he, speaking of Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, and this is the same Mary of Bethany, Mary of Bethany. It's the same person. This is just her first real encounter. Called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him. She didn't come to her sister. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Same Jesus she's talking to. Bid her therefore she help me. This is one of those most precious moments for Jesus. And someone is coming up to Jesus and saying, not her sister, you know, Mary, get up, come help me. Or Mary, get up, come help me. Who cares? But she comes to Jesus. And she says, don't you care that my sister has left me? Now, you got to remember that her sister leaving Martha meant she's on her knees before the Lord listening to everything he has to say. And out of his own mouth and his own heart, out of the abundance of his heart, he's speaking. Eternal moments missed. And, you know, I'm looking at this and I could just see, and thank God Jesus isn't like us, but I could just see Jesus saying, Martha, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care that in this whole room there's only one person? One person that's in tune with my heart? Don't you care about that? Or are you too busy with what you care about that you don't really care about anyone else, but especially the Lord? And I wrote down here, everyone I made so I would not be alone has been breached. This would be Jesus saying that to Martha. Everyone I created and made has been breached, and they were created so I would not be alone. Across the globe 100 years ago, across the globe 1,000 years ago. Don't you care? Don't you, Martha? See my heart? Don't you see my where I'm at? And having this woman, Mary, just so blocking out the noise of everything and everybody. And, you know, again, she had chosen. She chose, Martha. She chose. And the Lord could have said, I mean, just think of Martha coming to Jesus and saying, don't you care? I mean, and the Lord saying, don't you care? There's darkness all around me. And I didn't make it to be this way. And you're complaining about your dishes and your food? Even saying, as it were, without saying it, choosing that? Choosing that with all the darkness that has been over this planet and now? Now, Jesus would never say these things. I'm just saying, you know, this is the truth. No, he's not going to let on at all. He's not going to show all this stuff. But I could hear it, though. I could hear it as I was just staring at this. Don't you care about me? Or don't you care about what I care about? So, you know, I just said, Lord, use this situation to open my heart more. How many times have we just had nothing but ourselves on our minds? Martha encroached on. Do you have it? Okay. Sorry, y'all. Martha encroached on something that Jesus said, this will not be taken away. You know, it's, are you going to complain about a situation that is touching my heart? Are you going to complain about that? Are you going to do worse than complain? Are you going to take away the one thing? The one thing that I desire. So, you know, it goes back. We know. I'm not trying to preach the breach in this class per se or whatever. I'm sure stuff like that'll come up. But if you know, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said to Martha, I mean, you know, basically, he could have said directly to the devil, Satan, I gave you everything. I gave you everything. Everything that you could want, everything that you could desire. And it's all going to be taken away from you. Because you didn't really comprehend what was going on. You didn't really understand that. So, I wrote one sentence. He kept talking to me. Are you going to take away the one bright spot I have? Just a woman trying to cook. Everybody understands that. But are you going to come in here and take away the one bright spot that I have and complain about guess what? Mary, she didn't even have to confront him. She's still at his feet. She's not looking back and getting into the mud and the muck of it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? She's not doing that. She's probably still looking at him and thinking, meditating on the jewels, the light that has shined out from him. Jesus is being pulled into it by Martha. And Jesus says, you are troubled and careful about many things. But she has chosen the one thing that shall not be taken away. She'll always have it. She'll always, once you enter a certain realm with the Lord, it gets deeper, yes, it gets wider, it gets all of that. But once you start entering into a certain realm with the Lord, and it takes years, it takes study, it takes openness, it takes heartbreaks, it takes all, but once you start entering into that, you realize this is what he's always wanted. This is the one thing he's wanted from the beginning. So verse 41 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I wrote, earthly important things to us. That's Martha. Earthly important things to us, in contrast to spiritual things, important to him and needful to us. And I tell you, we don't know how much we need him. We don't know how much we need him until we get in that situation where we really have made a decision. I've made a decision. I'm not going to sit in the noise. I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to be involved with it. I'm going to step out, excuse me, I got to step out and I'm going to open my Bible and say, Lord, I may not see anything, but I am choosing something that I believe won't be taken care of me. As you open my eyes, I open my heart. Okay. You can see how this stuff is just, I mean, it's really just tearing me up in a good way and in a bad way. It is. It's just, anyway, I want to start looking at David now, and I want us to see the scriptures that we're so familiar with about David's heart. And so the first one is 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 7 through, well, probably, we'll eventually go through 7 through 15. There are, within these writings that we're going to read here, there are huge issues, whether we see it or not, or whether I see it or not, or whether someone else sees it or doesn't see it. There are just huge implications bound up in these. They're not just stories. They're not just Bible stories. They pertain to the one thing that Jesus feels is even needful for him. Important to him and needful to us is the way I put it. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. They're running because the enemy is at the is about to come attack. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. I'm sorry, I just picture this little boy named David when Goliath showed up. And I think these are the Philistines going after him now, and Goliath showed up. And all the people aren't trembling when David goes out. And they're not trembling when Saul honors David and makes him one of his soldiers, and then he gets, you know, farther up and more battles, and David's so clean in his words and in his heart. But this is, in a sense, the way this part is being brought in is, in a sense, God, it's not even in a sense. God's already spotted what he wants. He knows what he wants. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not. Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from Saul. Okay? So, it would be good if we understood a simple thing about God and prayer. And I thought through them, and there's probably more. I put four possible answers from God. The one we all want, yes. I don't know if that's what the one we should all want, but no, not yet. Or wait, or I have something else. I got something else for you. Stop messing with that. I'll be faithful to continue to pray like that woman that went to the door that night in the Bible. I'm going to just keep, I'll bug this guy to death. That isn't what I have for you. I have something else in my mind. Get that one out of your mind. Where do we get that from? We get that from Samuel continually praying for Saul after this stuff. And God saying, would you stop? I'm not going to. He's not it. You say, well, it wasn't that bad. It's not about what he did. It's about his heart. And where it really is. So, of course, Samuel represents the high priest at that time. And verse 9 says, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. So Samuel hadn't showed up yet. In fact, Samuel didn't show up at the set time that he said he'd be there. Okay, so I wrote, Saul assumes that because of extenuating circumstances, meaning the enemy's coming, meaning the situation's bad, meaning they're going to take my car away, you know, or they're going to this or that, God's going to allow me to do this. because Saul assumes that because of extenuating circumstances, God will allow someone to take Jesus' place, meaning the high priest. Okay, we've been called priests and kings, but we're not high priests. There's somebody higher in the priesthood, and that's pro-self. Then Jesus is higher than them. I wrote, after all, Saul is king overall. He's king, so he should be able to step in here and, you know, and do something. But the high priest is higher than the king in God's heart. And he's higher than Randy. All right, verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Anybody see the quickness of that? Mm-hmm. That when he finished, Saul finished doing all the offerings, the high priest shows up. So it couldn't have been that long. Could have, you remember the one, wait or not yet? And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. He is really, really bad at thinking everything's okay when it's really, really bad. Anybody remember the whole thing with, what's his name? Agag? Same thing. He came out and came to Samuel and went, hey, all is good. You know, I have obeyed the Lord. Da, 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 da. Samuel says, somebody get me a sword. Saul should have been running for his life, actually, but God will take care of him. So he says that he might salute him. And Samuel said, Samuel says to Saul, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me. The people were scattered from me. How can I be a king? And how can I win this war? They're running away. And he goes on with that sentence, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days appointed. Oh boy. Anybody ever switch blame? You know? Anybody ever switch blame when, you know, it's like you did it and then I'm sure you did that with Jenny sometime or another, Kelly. Oh my God, she did it. Oh, wretched woman that you are. Did you say Haman? Are you calling out the Haman?
Just pray for me.
Okay. From me. And thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Verse 12, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplications unto the Lord. I forced myself. What? Now, I know we all read this and we go, man, oh man, that's stupid, buddy. I'd like for us to consider that without us even knowing it, we've done it way, way more than we realize. We've stepped out well in advance because the Lord didn't answer, and then something else happened, you know, somebody coughed and we went, that's the Lord, you know, and let us go forth then. All sorts of stuff. I'm telling you, the closer you get, the more you realize the thing that he wants is not bad. We know it. We can spot it in the scriptures. I don't know that we can spot it in ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." And I have that marked in red in my Bible here. Thou hast done foolishly? I mean, wouldn't this be much more serious than foolishly? Right, Deb? This would be way more foolish. I mean, way more bad than well, you've done foolishly. Unless you understand the foolishness that God is talking about. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. So I wrote down before I read the next part of that verse into verse 14. What is the consequence of simple foolishness? For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Foolishness. You know, we would think, well, I've done, you know, we wouldn't mind admitting to a sin or a failure. I did a foolish thing. That sounds a lot better than, you know. So, I wrote down, he's not seeking out the wisest, talking about the Lord. He's not, because remember, he wants a seeking for a man after God's own heart. The Lord, let's see, he is not seeking out the wisest, the youngest, the most capable, or any other thing that we put up there foolishly, put up on our list as the very thing that God's looking for. Well, he wants all the things that the breach brought about, all the things that identify Satan, you know, confidence. Okay, well, you know, what if that was straight out of Satan? What if he wants your confidence to be in the Lord? What if the scriptures tell us that's what he wants? I have, what did Paul say in Philippians? He was talking, he said, I have no confidence in myself. So, he's not seeking out the wisest, the youngest, the most capable. God made all men with free will. He searches for those who will direct their heart, not just in religious fervor, but in close intimacy. Yahweh has sought out, is the translation. So we see in Acts chapter 13, I'm wondering if I left that part out, but we shall see. Acts chapter 13, verse 16. Then Paul, Acts 13, verse 16. Then Paul, this is in verse 22 of the other one, but Paul knew what God wanted in himself. He understood that. He stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. But when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 400 years. And there's going to be a bunch of 400-year things here. 40 years or 400. This is 450. Until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. He didn't just do it. He gave testimony and said, "This is my testimony of David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, even Jesus." This is going back to where we were at in Samuel. I think this is verse 15. I should have marked it. "The Lord hath sought out him a man after his own heart." This is Samuel now. This is Samuel talking to Saul after he says the kingdom's going to be taken to you. And he says, the Lord hath sought out. Oh, gosh. You know, I don't know why we can't let that get in the way that we need to. The Lord is looking for these kind of hearts. And we're, in many cases, have Martha hearts. Because we care more about the thing that we're doing and the task we've been given for Jesus. Because that was Martha. She was there cooking the meal for Jesus. We care about the thing we're doing for Jesus more than we care about Jesus, and are willing, in a sense, to even, you know, question him. What, you know, I mean, have you ever been in a situation where people weren't helping you on something, and you're going, you know, Lord, why don't you make them come over here? I mean, this is important. What we're doing is important. I know I have grumbled. But it's not that important. It's not something that, you know, shall not be taken away from you. And Jesus even says to the same lady later on, wherever this gospel is preached, you should never let go. Should never let go. So I wrote, he's not seeking out, well, I already read that. So what we just read here in Acts is that the Lord has sought out. He sought out a man. So in those scriptures in Acts, I really didn't remember this going totally in this direction, but in those scriptures, what was the problem with the people pointed out by Paul? What was the problem? And see, this is it. This is where he's trying to take us. Paul's trying to take us. This is our history. This is what God did. This is what we did. This is what God did again for you. This is what we did. This is what God did again for you and me. And this is what we did. So he chose the fathers and exalted them. That's verse 17 and 18. He chose the fathers and exalted them. The next part of that verse is, he suffered their manners for 40 years. He suffered with them, his people. He suffered with them. Not like he's fellowshipping in our sufferings. He's suffering their lack of understanding him, of being with him, of always expecting him to jump for them. Verse 19 says, he again exalted and destroyed and divided. So I'll read verse 9. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land, he divided their land to them by lot. So he exalted them again by giving them the land, and he destroyed the enemies, and he divided the land for them. And then verse 20 goes to the judges. And so in that land that he gave to them, he gave them judges. And I wrote down, remember the judges cycle? It's the same cycle that Paul in this chapter is pointing out that was their history. It's the same one. God would do something great for them. They would, you know, particularly you see that in the judge. Well, I mean, Paul spelled it out. You see it in their history. But the judges, for whatever reason, seem more, there's more clarity. I like the fact that it says in verse 20 that he gave him judges and da-da-da-da until Samuel. Where did Samuel come from? He came from the heart of this woman that was just, I'll give him to you to serve you and be with you all your life. Just give me a son so that I can give you a son back. It came out of the same kind of heart that David had. It's just beautiful. But, you know, we go, oh, and then to Samuel. Historically cut off there. That's right. You know, and we don't see that. We don't see that. So, and then verse 21, they desired a king, and God gave them their desire, didn't he? And David, they desired a king. David desired God's heart. So God gave him his desire. Because David chose that good thing that shall not be taken away. All right, so what time is it? Okay, I want to look in Psalm 106. And again, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it for you. Psalm 106, verse 14 through 17. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Okay, so this is the order. This is the way that this goes. And if we just read it like a story, well, they were bad people and this is a shame. Instead of saying, my heart, I wanted to be with you. I want to choose every day and every chance I get that good thing that won't be taken away. I don't want to live in the noise. So they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, just like he gave David his request. It was after God's heart. God gave it to him. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. How do you live with leanness? And how do you hear a message like this and go, maybe or already have leanness in your soul and go, well, how do I get from here to there? You change your desire. You don't have it. You're not there yet, but you want the Lord. You know, I just believe maybe one of the greatest things that we could do during the week is just say, Lord, I am so messed up and far from you, but I really do want you, and I ask you to move on my behalf even if half of what I'm saying is false, if there's one, even the period is the only thing that's holy, move on that, Lord. And what, you know, what do you think he's going to do? Well, all these things that he gives them their request, and then it, you know, then they get off. But they never say this. They never say what I just said. They never say, I really do want you and I am sorry. You know, we always think of forgiveness as, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me my sins, and thank you for your blood, because I know that you said that if I confess my sins, then you are faithful and just to forgive me. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. We walk off and we don't think of him. We think of the work that was done. And we don't go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, even if it's, I'm sorry, I'm a mess. I'm sorry, I'm a mess. I'm your mess. I'm holding on with my skin of my teeth. I want you, and I want to want you more. I just believe that means something to him compared to all the religious stuff that we do. Is it scriptural? Yes. Is it done with any kind of heart for the Lord like David? No, it's not. It's, you know, well, praise God. I totally, you know, I confess my sin. I did this horrible thing and I know that you forgive me. So bye. So continuing on that. Okay. So I think I'll just, where are we at? I'm going to start again at verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. This isn't about finding the problems. He's telling you the problems, but it's not about finding the problems. It's the wrong direction. It's about finding his heart. You choose. I read it earlier. God gave us free will. The one thing we can do is choose. And again, I just believe that if you choose and you say, Lord, I really... You know, I really genuinely want to be there with you. I want to be at your feet. I want to, if I'm not there, then I ask you to move by your spirit. Moses said, they're doing all this horrible stuff. And God says, I'm going to wipe these people out. I've had it. And he goes, well, you know, if you do that, it's going to make you look bad. And God's not worried about looking bad. God's wanting somebody to come up with another spirit. Just, you know, check us out. He does it all the time. And he says, you know, so, you know, could you help us get along down the road? And, you know, I don't know how old Caleb was when this journey started. But he had another spirit. We read that. How about saying, I want another spirit. I'm like those people. They're all murmuring stuff. The noise. I want out of the noise. I want to be at your feet. I mean, you know, you say, well, that's not in me yet. Well, listen to this over and over and say, God, you know, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is that I believe that we're on to something in this class. And I think the Lord isn't here to condemn at all. He wants us. He is opening a door for us to see what David's heart is like and to see past the ink on white paper. So So back to Acts chapter 13, where I left off, verse 22. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul again. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will of this man's seed. God chose to raise up his son. My little note on the side here was, and when he had removed him, and I put in parentheses, capital SSS has to be turned away from. SSS has to be turned away from. Self-seeking Saul. Yeah, you have to go, I don't want that as my king. I don't want him anymore. We're all walking around trembling. We don't know what we're doing. We're fixing to be beat up. I don't want SSS. Self-seeking Saul anymore. So I wrote this down. He doesn't even have to be defeated. Because we're always going, how am I going to defeat, pro-self? Or how am I going to defeat Saul? Or how am I going to defeat Agag? Or how am I going to... You know, he's just saying right here, he doesn't even have to be defeated. Just turn your heart to what shall not be taken away. See, if you just held on to that phrase, that shall not be taken away, you can turn to the Lord and say, I'm turning from this noise right now, and I want to be with you in the thing that shall not be taken away, because that's what's blessing you. Then what are you asking for? You're asking for his heart. You're not making this a big battle with what's wrong. You're turning away from that, you know? I mean, if it was like Saul was right there and Jesus was right there, you go, excuse me. And you just go over here to Jesus and you say, I want to partake of that with you now. You don't just say, well, I want to partake of that, because he goes, there you go. I want to partake of that with you. I mean, couldn't we even just say, I want to partake of that with you? I am such a mess. I don't even know what's real in me or what's not. I don't want to be clawing at something. I don't want to. But I know that, Lord, when you look at me, you know my mind. You know my thoughts. You know me. And you know I'm a mess. You know how bad I am. I'm afraid to know how bad I am. I'd like to know how good you are. I'll probably keep saying this over and over. I just think you're better off saying that stuff than anything else. Or trying to commit yourself again. You know, I remember when we were in Bible school when we'd have church service, because the church and the Bible school were one, and we'd have church services, the preacher would preach, Warren Lisman would preach, and I'd go down to that altar and I'd go, oh God, I'm going to be with you. I want you. I'm going to do better. Da, 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 and I'd rededicate myself. And the way I used to say it in the early days is, one day I broke my rededicator. It was just like, okay. He probably broke it. I'm sick of you using that. That ain't working. Try, have you ever wept for feeling off? just take one of those tears and say, breathe on this tear and help it become more in me. See, that's relating by heart to the Lord. You're not David yet. Trust me. But you're on the road. You're on the road. So, I'm going to just read this last part again. This is, you know, this is Paul talking. There's going to be some cool stuff where we're going to find the Apostle Paul saying the same words as David, because he got it from the scripture, but it wasn't scripture to him anymore. He said it the way David said it. It can catch, is my point. It's you know, I mean, it's not like ringworm, but it's, you know, it can catch. And when I saw it, first of all, I would look at that scripture and I had always gone, oh, wow. You know, all of the wisdom of the Apostle Paul, you know. And then I realized David said that, and he's just quoting David, and this isn't coming from the wisdom of David. This is coming from the heart of David. See, this is the doors that's being opened to me to see scriptures in new ways, to see the people of the Bible in new ways, to see the influence of heart that makes it all the way, that shall not be taken away, that makes it all the way into the New Testament, and a bunch of it. You know, we say, well, you know, Psalms are quoted a lot in the New Testament. Well, guess who says most of those Psalms? But we don't say, well, David, man, God wouldn't let go of the things that he said because they were heart, and he wants us to get it. And so he's passing it on down, and still going, and 2,000 years later. But we're just going, well, those are good scriptures, you know. No, it's time to move past that. All right. You know, I'm going to invite somebody on Skype. Is that possible? Is it possible I could have somebody on Skype pray for us? I don't know who. I'm not going to tell you who. What I'm looking for is somebody that if it's that one deal of holding up a tear, if it's just one little cry, if it's not perfect and pure, it could be ugly and have all kind of wrong stuff, but it's reaching out. I believe draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, and we're starting it. And this is a journey, just like the book of Esther was a journey. This is a journey. So I'm just going to ask any one of you that's on Zoom, if you would just unmute and just pray. It could be a short prayer. Nobody in this room, though.
Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, and I wanna love you more. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I do. I don't have good words, but help me to be real with you. Help me just to be real with you every day, not come in pretense of spirituality. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. But I want you. And if there's something real in my heart toward you, take that and work with it and make it bigger and make that what you honor. Nothing else. If there's whatever else is inside me, I pray that that would be cast aside, that would be burned away, that whatever is in me toward you, I pray that that's what comes forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Geraldine, if you want to still pray, go ahead.
Oh, Father, Mary wasn't struggling to sit at the feet of your son. She was born to be there. She was drawn. She couldn't leave his heart. She could see the light shining from his heart into her heart. The very word forming her and creating her. Lord, we hear and desire that. We don't know how to get there, but we hear it. And Lord, we really, really want to bless you, Jesus, that you have somebody around you looking at you like that. And Father, that you would see that what you've done in your son is beginning to happen in this generation. Lord, we hear the cry. We hear the draw. Oh, Father, bring us in. We cast aside all other things. We declare now you're the one, Jesus. We know we're weak. We know, but Lord, we have that heart. We have it, Lord, because you've put it in us. And we're trusting what you've done by faith to bring it into reality. And we trust you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm just going to let anyone else that feels to pray on Zoom to go ahead.
Father, I just love you, and I just desire to give you the kind of love that only your son can give, Lord. I know that it's not in me, except that Jesus is in me, Lord. That new heart that you have told us that we would have, Lord, I want that to be the driving factor in my life, Lord. The thing that moves and motivates me, the thing that governs me, Lord, is your heart, Lord. And I know that's not the way it is right now, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pray, Father, for this opportunity to agree together, Lord, that I want you, we want you, Lord. But Lord, I can only speak for myself, Father. Really, I can only speak for myself when I say, Lord, I want you. I want to know you more. I want that heart, Lord, that heart that is so passionate for the Father. Father, I want the heart that's so passionate for the Son. Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. Help.
Amen. Anyone else on Zoom? Anyone else?
Lord, I do love you, and I hear that there is this condition of heart and relationship with you that isn't taken away, Lord, and that it's protected, and it's a place where it's like you slip in behind the veil and it's just you there and nothing else touches. Lord, I want that with you. I want that with you. I know there are others too. And Lord, I want to be able to give you that thing and not be a Martha that's taking the thing away from you that you love so much, but to be sensitive to you and to have that Mary or David heart that just sits there with you and ministers to you in that silence and just looking at you and listening. Lord, just I ask that you would move by your Spirit to cultivate that heart in me and in all of us and bring us into that, Lord, and let it be not only for us that we would have that, but that you would have it, Jesus, that you would have it. In your name, amen.
Lord, I just I thank you for the word today. I thank you for voicing your needs, Lord, from us. And Lord, I just ask, you know, just Holy Spirit, just help me. I need help. Lord, forgive me for measuring the fruit of wanting you as a measure of really wanting to be near you, and just focusing on the fruit of things and how it's supposed to look and how I'm supposed to act and more the choices that I make, Lord. Lord, I just, Lord, Holy Spirit, just examine my heart and create in me a pure heart that just wants to be like Mary and not focus so much on what it looks like on the outside on the earth, but what matters to you. And Lord, I don't know what that looks like. I can only imagine what it looks like on the earth by the works and things being in order and things feeling good and sounding good, Lord, but on with Mary's heart, God, I can't say that I know what that looks like, Lord. So please, Lord, just create in me a pure heart that wants what you want and cares for the things that you care about. Not only that, but just loves you and is moved by that just pure love. I love you and I want to be near you and I want to hear you and be around you, Lord. And let that be the motive of my very existence.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, baby. Hallelujah. Anyone else? And you don't have to pray. I'm just don't want to leave. I don't want to cut anybody off. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, we just feel like this is a new journey you're taking us on again. We're together. I hear it in the prayers. We're together. We're not perfect. We haven't attained, but we're together. We trust you. We trust that your word will be more than words or teachings, but they will be spirit and life, and that we will all feed off of the bread of life together and feed one another together and pray one for another together. And I heard those prayers. I heard them. I know you heard them. And so we put this time, we set it aside for more than just a class. We set it aside for a time where we all come together to hear again, to go on this journey, as if we were walking Jesus with you the way the disciples were, walking with you, until you have said what is in your heart, until you have ministered into us the very blessings that will flow forth out of us, the seeds, the life. So we look forward together to our time with you. We look at it not is anything except for our time with you, so that you can speak, so that you can bless, so that you can share, so that you can speak, and we just sit at your feet. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Thanks for being on, and thanks for the prayers, and thanks for the hearts, and thanks for the needs, because we all have them. And may the Lord just continue to speak to us as we stay at his feet. In Jesus' name. Bye.